It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you again. I hope you're having a great week. I know I am. And very excited today. So we're talking about today's topic is online learning. All right. Most of us, you grew up in if you're my age in the late 50s, you know, most of your education has been in a classroom, you know, with a teacher. And but now, you know, in this modern age, 21st century, there's a lot of digital formats and online learning and people are gaining knowledge through podcasts and all those kinds of things. So I want to talk about how you can learn more about your faith and grow in your faith through online learning. That's our topic today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And very excited today also because there's a conference coming up that we definitely want you to know about. This is a conference that I myself spoke at back in 2020 during the COVID year, but now they're back in full swing and they've got great speakers, and this is going to be an amazing event. So you definitely need to attend if you're going to be anywhere near Iowa. So to talk about the conference today, we're going to bring on Marilyn Lane and Ellen Miller, who are the co-founders of the Christ Our Life Conference that's happening this year in Des Moines, Iowa at the Wells Fargo Arena on the 28th and the 29th of September, so just a week from now. And so I want them to talk about this conference and the speakers, and because this is really a conference that you, if you're anywhere in that area, you have to go to this. It's absolutely incredible. So welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, we began this conference. The inspiration came in 2008, and our first conference was in 2010. We had tremendous help from a beloved priest, and he led us to identify some other people, and we began forming a steering committee. And from there, we got inspired to gather our first group of speakers. And we decided we had to do it again because we were urged to do so by one of our speakers, Marino Restrepo was his name. He told us we needed to keep doing this because it was important to God. So
amen.
We did.
And since, so, you know, oh, sorry, Deacon.
No, I was going to say, where was the first conference held?
Wells Fargo Arena.
So your first time out doing a conference and you booked the Wells Fargo Arena?
I know.
Because most conferences start like in a large parish, yeah. You know, and then it kind of grows from there. But you guys just, you just came out swinging.
Not only that, one of our speakers we invited from the Vatican, Francis Cardinal Arinze, the priest of divine worship and the sacraments, and he came.
We truly feel that it's a pray and move ministry. And when we first started the conference, I was in prayer and the multiplying of the loaves of fish and bread came to my heart. And once I found out that would be about 10,000 with women and children, we booked the arena and that's how we started.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Not to think too hard about something.
Yeah.
Roll
with it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So we know that the conference is at the Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines next weekend, right? The 28th and 29th of September. Who do you have coming to speak this year?
Oh, boy. We have a beautiful lineup of speakers, starting with our bishop, who has blessed the conference and so supportive of it. But we have Father Robert Spitzer coming to talk about faith and science. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti coming to talk to us about spiritual warfare. Father Craig Blasick,
Father Craig Blasick.
I need Marilyn to help me with my pronunciation.
Coming straight off of 3 years for the Eucharistic Renewal. Mm-hmm. He was appointed by Bishop Cousins, so he's going to fill us in on that. And Sister Josephine Garrett, that a lot of people found tremendous favor with during the National Eucharistic Congress. They love her. And yeah. We had her booked almost 2 years ago for this.
Yeah. Jeff Caven, he's going to come and talk to us about the good news and how to share that. Jason Everett, he's going to be our breakout for high school and college adults talking about love or lust. And Magnus and Julie McFarland-Barrell from Mary's Meals, the founder and his wife, they are going to come and share with us how our little acts of love have made a difference around the world.
And they are coming all the way from Dalmally, Scotland. And Steve Angrisano always is our beloved storyteller and musician, and we couldn't do without him. So that's the scoop.
Oh, fantastic. So it's all day, right? Saturday and Sunday, 28th and 29th. That great. So there's going to be mass and prayer, and is there going to be adoration as well?
Yes, absolutely. We start out with mass on Saturday morning. Our speakers kick off after mass. We have incredible adoration on Saturday evening, and there is nothing like thousands of people sitting in that huge arena, and Jesus comes out to visit us in the monstrous. It is just beautiful. And then Sunday morning, we start in again with our speakers, and we wind up with a 12:30 p.m. mass. And we also have reconciliation going on all weekend, and fabulous music.
Oh, absolutely. And we always like to tell everybody we have an in-person conference, but now since COVID, that would have been the first year you were there, Deacon. Mm-hmm. We started live streaming, and it has been such a beautiful ministry, one that we hadn't really thought of before COVID. And since then, now people are having watch parties, so you can buy your ticket online at Christ Our Life Iowa, and you can even host a live watch party with your friends, and you could live anywhere. You know, we've had many, many people coming from outside the state.
Yeah, 19 different countries, in fact. We're still trying to figure out how they figured out how to get to us from Malta.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of conferences and a lot of apostolates kind of panicked when COVID first came because they go, oh, no, what do we do? But they end up finding a larger audience from internationally and from other states. Yeah. Because people are trying to find resources because they can't go to something now. And so a lot of those conferences and online medias, actually started to flourish. And you're one of them, that people can take advantage of who can't come to Iowa, who can't even come to the United States, can now experience the great speakers and the masses and everything by having watching online and having that online watch party. That's such a fantastic idea.
We have an added dimension that Ellen will talk about, and that is my husband has worked hard to fundraise to provide free tickets for everybody, all youth age 23 and under.
We know our Lord meets everybody where they're at, and we're like, how can we engage youth to come more? And families, somebody who has a big family or small family, just to make that ticket more affordable. So 23 and under is a free ticket. They just have to go online to register, even live streaming. If you're a youth wanting to live stream and you don't live in Iowa, or you do live in Iowa, please go to Christ Our Life Iowa and get that free ticket and see what our Lord has in store for you.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're doing stuff for youth. I obviously travel quite extensively, over 200,000 miles a year, and I speak to thousands of youth every year. And I hear the same thing from them. We want to hear the truth, and we're not hearing it. And so many young people are leaving the church, not to become Protestant or for another religion. They're leaving for nothing. And they're leaving because they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus deeply, personally, and intimately. They learn all kinds of stuff about Jesus, but that doesn't translate into a relationship that every decision you make from that intimate relationship with the Lord, especially in the Eucharist and in the teachings of the church. So I'm so glad and grateful that you guys have something specifically for our young people who truly need to fall more deeply in love with Jesus if they're going to have a faith that's going to sustain them for their entire life.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
That's the truth.
So, amen. So tell us, how can people, again, get tickets, either, you know, so they can watch online or attend in person, how to get more information about Christ Our Life?
Have them go to Christ Our Life Iowa, and that's spelled out, ChristOurLifeIowa.com, and everything they need to know is there. We also have a QR code, but whatever it takes, it's easy, and as we said, all the information for purchasing for adults.
Oh, all right. Well, awesome. Well, thank you both for being with us today and telling us about this great conference. Really looking forward to people coming. And again, thank you guys so much, and God bless you. Wish you much success.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's so many things going on right there. It's amazing.
That's awesome. You know, when I first listened to it, I thought it was going to be more of the hip-hop kind of thing. And all of a sudden, right. Bam, the rock came in.
But then it goes back. So it's like,
yeah.
We got it all on the buffet today.
Yeah, very nice. I like that. That's some good stuff. See, like, it sounds like it's going to be kind of funky, mm-hmm. kind of hip. And all of a sudden, bam, it comes. You know, the stars is coming.
Here it comes. I love it.
Nice video. Enjoyed that very much, man. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I got you.
All right. Well, we're talking about online learning today on Beacon of Truth. And so glad that you're with us today. You want to talk with us today? Send us an email. beacon@ewtn.com. And as always, you know, love bringing this show every day. And this show wouldn't happen if we didn't have some great people working behind the scenes. People like Matt Kabinsky screening the calls and Charles Berry doing social media. And the one and only Ace McKay producing the show as always. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks, bud. As of course, always, we love our friends on the affiliate side. And we want to say to our friends in Nebraska and Central Wisconsin, Spirit Catholic Radio, ready to get into their fall pledge drive. And as they do so, your support is what helps support 19 stations for them across their listening coverage area. So again, we want to lift them up in prayers. And then remember, every little bit makes a big difference. So be listening if you are in that area or if you stream them on the app. Just continue to support EWTN Catholic Radio.
All right. Well, it's time once again to break open God's Word in the Psalms, in this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, where we take the scriptures from the Sefer Tehillim, or the Book of Sung Praises, or the Jewish hymnal, if you will, which is the Book of Psalms. And we break open the Psalms and feed you with God's words of love and life. And remember, this segment of Beacon of Truth, the Soulful Psalms, are its own podcast. You can go to Podcast Central at EW10.com and download it there, or through the EWTN app, or through Spotify or iTunes or whatever podcast medium you like to use. But the important thing is to download it so you can listen to these psalm reflections every day. All right, today we're looking at the first part of Psalm 75, right? So Psalm 75 is in Book 3 of the Psalms, Psalm 73 to 89. And so in Book 3, Psalm 73 to 83 are by Asaph, right? So Asaph means gather. And most of the Asaph Psalms are in Books 2 and Books 3 of the Psalms. So so this is Psalm 75, which falls in 73 to 83. This is Asaph. So the prescript is the entire first verse of the psalm. Okay, so again, if you're following along the Psalms and you're using the Septuagint version of the Psalms, which is the Greek version, you won't see the prescripts there. Okay, but if you're using what's called the Masoretic text or the Jewish text, which we use as Catholics in our Old Testament, you will see the prescripts there. So this one says, for the choir master, in tone like, do not destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. Okay, so Asaph wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master to put music to, and he wanted it to sound like, do not destroy. I have no idea what do not destroy is. I mean, obviously there's no psalm called do not destroy, but he had something, either a prayer or a song or something in his mind that he wanted this psalm to sound like when the choir master put music to it, right? The leaders of the musical guild. All right, so let's dive in. Verse 2. We give praise to you, O God. We give praise, for your name is near. We recount your wonderful deeds. So very interesting wording here in this second stanza of the strophe here. We give praise to you, O God. We give praise, for your name is near. Right? So not just your presence is near to us, but your name is near. Right? Very interesting. And so it's very personal, because when you want to be in a relationship with someone, you call someone by that name, right? When you meet somebody for the first time, you introduce yourself by giving them your name. That's how you establish that personal relationship. And so we see the intimacy that the Jewish people want with the Lord by saying your name is near. And they also recognize the holiness of that name, that the name of the Lord, just the name of the Lord, so draw us closer to him, right? That name is inviting us into relationship with him, right? I love the way that's phrased, very beautiful. We recount your wonderful deeds. When I establish the appointed time, then I myself, now that they're having God speaking here, right? When I establish the appointed time, then I myself will judge with fairness. Though the earth and all who dwell in it may rock, it is I who set firm its pillars. Okay? So I love this. When I establish the appointed time, I myself would judge with fairness. Okay. God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. So here, he's saying that when I establish the appointed time, right? So we've talked about this before, but so many times we're going through something, we have to wait on the Lord. And it's hard to have patience. I know I'm impatient, you know, especially when I'm traveling as much as I do and flights are late, which is a lot. It happens a lot traveling now post-pandemic and everything. A lot of flights are late. And, you know, and it really tries your patience, you know. So we have to wait for the Lord. Because when we wait for the Lord, then he will judge with fairness. And though all the earth who dwell in it may rock, no matter what's going on in your life, you're going through the tumult, the earthquake that's happening in your life, I am the one, the Lord says, who set firm its pillars. So it's the Lord that gives us stability. It's the Lord that gives us that strong foundation upon which we can build our faith and build our lives as well.
Yeah. And in addition to this psalm, I was actually reading 1 Peter this morning, and it talks specifically about in his right time, he will restore. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because when I'm in those moments when I know that he's rebuilding something, but I'm not being very patient about it, might even be throwing a little bit of a ace tantrum. Like, it could be, come on, God, you know, but it's his right time. So going back into, if it's perfect timing and he's always perfect, then we just have to settle into God's going to restore my reputation. He's going to restore my relationships. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But again, his timing is what we're waiting on. So let that restoration be what brings you that peace.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I can't help but think about Cardinal Pell, you know, who was wrongly accused of sexual abuse. You know, when he was the Archbishop of Sydney, Australia, and he was put in jail in solitary confinement for over a year. And then he was exonerated by the highest court in Australia, who, in fact, they said that this case shouldn't even have gotten that far. It was a complete injustice for him to be imprisoned in the first place. And so I think about, man, here's a guy who know he's righteous, who know that he's just, and he's sitting in this jail cell, cannot exercise any ministry. I'm not even sure if he could have visitors.
Right.
You know, and the thoughts that may be going in his mind and his heart during that time, just waiting for the Lord and waiting for the Lord's justice. Yeah. I think he knew in his heart that justice would prevail.
Yeah.
Now he's written about it in his, you know, he's got these prison journals and diaries that he's written about. I haven't got a chance to read them. But, you know, in fact, I have it scheduled to be to read those during Lent next year. So that's going to be my reading, his spiritual journals. But it, you know, when I think about that, it helps me to find patience.
Sure.
You know, it helps me to think, you know what? There are so many people that are worse off than I am right now that are waiting for the Lord to come through in their lives. Yeah. And what do I have to, a flight that's late? I'm complaining about that.
Sure.
When you have people like Cardinal Pell and others who are going through extreme injustices. You know, I think about people suffering in countries under the communist regime, like in China, or places that are suffering under Boko Haram and other kinds of militant forces like that. And they're waiting for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, the Israelites in Egypt waiting for the Lord to come through and fulfill his promise to his people, you know, and it just really puts things in its proper perspective.
Well, and I love, too, because all separate from each other, whether it be books or interviews or testimonials I've heard over, you know, decades now of people who have been wrongly accused, whether they're in prison or they're in some kind of, you know, whatever camp that they're like, I'm not supposed to be here. But because of their faith, God was using them where they were. So, again, another reminder, God uses you where you're planted. And even if he's going to eventually, you know, show, yes, you're innocent and you're out of here. And the whole time you were clinging to your faith and you were witnessing to people who were in your circle at the time, even if their crimes were maybe legit and worse than yours, you're still going to be used. And I, and the thing I love is even in that, people are thankful for it. Even though they didn't want to be there, they're thankful for the opportunity they had while they were waiting to serve God in those circumstances, because how else were people in prisons or, you know, third world countries going to hear about his name?
That's right. Amen. And that witness in itself is a form of evangelization.
Yep. 100%.
That's so awesome. All right, let's see if we can get to verse 6 here. This will put us halfway through. It says, the Lord speaking here. To the boastful, I say, do not boast. To the wicked, do not flaunt your strength. Do not flaunt your strength on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. Boy, that's the voice of the Lord speaking to our culture today. You see, while the people that are righteous are waiting for the Lord's judgment, the people in the culture who are arrogant are saying, look, the Lord's not going to come to their aid. Look how much they're suffering. Look how much control we have. Look how much influencing that we're having over these people who are following this God that some, you know, spaghetti monster in the sky or whatever. And so they think they have their day. They think they have the last word. Oh, but we can see here, the Asaph in the Psalm, the Lord knows what's going on here. the Lord is warning me, hey, hold on here. You know, I've got stuff working behind the scenes that you don't know about. So, you know, don't be laughing. Don't be arrogant, because my justice is going to come through. Beautiful. Well, we're talking about online learning today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ew10.com.
Like
that late 80s, what band am I thinking of? Not
Flock of Seagulls, maybe?
Yeah, Flock of Seagulls, or what's the other band? not the Smiths, but
The Cure.
Cure, The Cure. That's it.
I got you.
That's it. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah,
it does have that
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, this got that kind of feel. Very nice. Very
cool
nice.
Thing
Brings
about
some wonderful memories, college memories.
Yeah, the cool thing about The Cure, I used to love the video, and I'm blanking on what video it was, but where they put their camera in a shopping cart, and then they just push the shopping cart around the room to different band members. And it was the cheapest video I think made at the time, but from an MTV perspective, we're looking like, what? Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
The little
so
things.
How much far we come. Yeah. I mean, maybe we should do a show about that too, about the influence of videos.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember listening to songs in the 70s and stuff in the 80s before the video, and just having like images or imagination
sure.
with the song. But then the video kind of takes that away because yeah. it kind of tells you, here's what you need to be seeing or imagining or thinking about as you're listening to this song.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy about that, though, is that how much, not just in that part of it, in the imagery, but those videos, because the imagery brought the song to life, those songs basically dictated how radio format changed in the 80s. So, and really the only videos that were being made at that time were not American bands. So that's why
yeah.
you had like this whole other British invasion kind of thing going on with all these bands like the Eurythmics and NXS and U2 and, you know, REM, you know, they had music videos, and it was, I mean, REM's not, but I mean, they fall in that helm of, hey, this is the next form of art. And
yeah.
they made it happen.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, we're talking about online learning today. You know, this is something that is very much a part of the fabric of our Catholic faith formation and education. This is something that, you know, that we're not going, just we talked about AI last week, you know, this is something that's not going away.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, I think almost every college and university now has an online delivery system. Many Catholic speakers and podcasters and media personalities have an online presence and are presenting Catholic content online. So, you know, let's talk about that. Let's figure out how to make our way through this environment of digital education and formation. So we're talking about that today. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, of course, speaking of online content, I invite you to join me for Catholics Coast to Coast this weekend. We're actually going to check in on Catholic Momcast, talking about the challenges of support that's available for those that are going through either being separated or divorced. And then we're going to flip the coin, check in with the Catholic Man Show, who is talking about our priorities and how we need to give up our own desires to then be better husbands, fathers, community leaders. So that's again Catholics Coast to Coast with moi this weekend, Saturday at 2 Eastern and Sunday at 6 p.m. on EWTN Radio.
All right. Is that Catholic Moms? Is that with Danielle Bean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, she's great.
Yep.
Oh, I love Danielle. She's awesome. Awesome. All right. Yeah, you definitely have to listen now.
All right.
So first of all, talking about online learning. Why is learning even important in the first place, right? Because we as Catholics, if we're going to be well-formed, we have to form our minds and our hearts. See, we take a holistic approach to our faith. So let me give you a great example, St. Thomas Aquinas, okay? St. Thomas Aquinas, everybody knows who he is. He was an incredible philosopher and theologian, one of the greatest thinkers, not only in the history of the Catholic Church, but of all time. There are secular universities, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Dartmouth, Brown, the Ivy Leagues, and many, many others study the philosophy of St. Thomas Aquinas, even though they're secular institutions and universities, right? That's how brilliant the man is. So we know that he had one of the greatest minds in the history of the church. But a lot of people don't realize he also had a beautiful heart, okay? For example, he wrote Tantum Ergo, right? O Salutaris, Panis Angelicus, three of the most beautiful Eucharistic hymns ever written. And a lot of people don't realize they were written by St. Thomas Aquinas. If you look at the words, it's like poetry. In fact, in adoration, we still sing Tantum Ergo, and we still sing O Salutaris as part of Eucharistic adoration. And those songs come from this great saint, from the mind and the heart of this great thinker. So, like Thomas Aquinas, you know, we're not all called to be brilliant theologians and philosophers, but we're all called to learn more about our faith, to go deeper in our love for Christ, which means we have to form the mind as well as the heart. So the church provides us with a wellspring, like almost like an overflowing torrent of prayers and devotions and scripture studies and all those things to move our hearts. But at the same time, we also have to form our minds. We have to learn how to think with the mind of the church. We have to understand some basics of our faith. You know, when we talk about the Eucharist, how can a piece of bread be God, right? I mean, we need to be able to explain with that we don't worship Mary. You know, we have to understand how a priest can forgive sins, right? So these are things that we hear from others who are challenging us on our faith. But it's up to us to get to know our faith, not just so we can defend it. That's called apologetics, right? But we need to know our faith, because in knowing our faith, we get to know Jesus more deeply, more personally, and more intimately, right? And so one of the ways to do that in the 21st century, in our modern times, with all of our modern tools and equipments and phones and apps and all of that, is through online learning. Now, you have to, now we talk about online learning, obviously it runs a tremendous gamut, right? A tremendous spectrum. It could be something from distance learning, where, for example, you want to learn about, you want to take a more formal approach to learning the Catholic faith. So you enroll in an online program by a Catholic college or university. Now, even within that spectrum, there's two different rays within that spectrum. On the one hand, you can just take classes just to audit. I just want to learn more about my faith. I'm not worried about getting a degree. I just want to learn more about my faith and, you know, just take the class like pass, fail, or no grade at all. I just want the information to better myself. Or you could take the other tract, which is, of course, a formally applying, making sure that you get meet all the prerequisites so you can get an actual degree. Okay. And so there are a number of universities that good Catholic universities to provide some kind of distance or online learning opportunity. Now, some of them are hybrid programs. So in other words, you can take classes online, but if you're going to get the actual degree, you have to spend some time at the university as well, typically during the summer. So, you know, during the regular academic year, you can take classes online, but then they have kind of like a summer program where you spend several weeks at the university taking a class for the summer so that you can have that, you know, the in-classroom experience as well. And we'll make a closer bond and connection to the university. But then you have others that are completely 100% online. There's no travel requirement whatsoever, right? And more and more universities are offering that as well, right? So within the online learning, again, if you're going to use a college or university, you can go for the degree or not go for the degree, or you may simply want information. You may simply just want to know your faith, you know. So and there's plenty of apostolates and ministries out there where you can just dive in and learn more about your faith without going through a college or university. And some great resources out there, like EWTN. Everybody knows about EWTN, the website, but there is a library there with some great resources available for you if you just want to learn more about your faith. Now, learning more about your faith, it basically takes two kinds of tracks. You can learn about the faith via apologetics, right? So apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to defend. Okay? So you want to learn about the faith in order to defend the faith. So that's a different way of approaching the faith. So you're gaining information in order to give an answer to someone who has questions about the faith, right? Or you can study it from a theological perspective. For myself, I want to understand the Trinity better. How can you have one God and three persons that share one divine nature? I want to understand a better theology of the Eucharist, right? So I want to understand more deeply the impact of the Eucharist in my life. You know, I want to understand moral theology. When I've heard, you know, during the pandemic, people were talking about the vaccine and should we take it, should we not take it? And they were talking about Catholic moral principles, like, for example, the principle of double effect. Well, what is that? You know, and so there's different ways to think about your faith. You want to learn enough to defend the faith, or you want to go the more theological route and to just so you can deepen your own personal understanding and therefore expand your heart to receive more of the love through that knowledge, more of the love that Jesus wants to have in your life.
Yeah. And I do warn as you move in that direction, because a lot of times we get full of a lot of information and then we're like, now I'm ready to, you know, pick a fight, you know, with the, you know, the most scholared, you know, Catholic or, you know, someone who's been Christian longer than I have. And that's not what it's for. It's for when people ask you, but also so that you have an understanding. Because again, you know, as someone who grew up in a Baptist home where this is what you believe and this is why, I was taught to never ask why. Like it was like, you know, and so it wasn't until I got much older that I was like, I really want to know why I've been taught this. And is it even true? Right. And so to get to the heart of the truth of what we believe and why we believe it is not only for a piece of, okay, I've seen God at work, but also I know the truth based on his word and based on my education. But it's not to be used. It's like you don't learn karate to fight. You learn karate so you don't have to fight. So that's it's the same way with your learning. You know, you're training, you know, you're learning wax on, wax off spiritually. And then, you know, you'll probably find that you never have to defend your faith at all. You're just at a peace because you're putting into action.
Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent point that we don't really use the faith as a weapon.
Right.
You know, and so what's great is, for example, when I was learning about atheism, when I first left my job and started speaking, I thought, well, what contribution can I make? And back then, the whole atheist thing was a big deal. And so I thought, okay, let me dive into atheism. So what I did was I got some great books, Scott Hahn's book, Trent Horn's book, and several others, and read about you know, the Catholic approach to atheism. Then I got some books by atheists themselves and read them.
Yeah.
So I can understand what I don't want people to put words in their mouths. I want to hear what they have to say for themselves.
Sure.
And then I went on YouTube and watched hundreds of hours of debates where I can hear these arguments that were made in the books actually articulated in front of an audience.
Yeah.
You know, so I can hear the arguments and hear the back and forth, you know, and in learning the faith that way, you know, you don't use it as a weapon. So when people say, you can't even prove to me God exists. Oh, really? And so I ask a series of questions, right? It's often called the Socratic method, where you ask a question, you know, instead of getting into this heated debate and you're just yelling and angry at each other, you just ask a question that causes the person to have deeper introspection,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're often think that they're asking the question because they think you're stupid or you don't have an answer.
Right.
Oh, I have an answer.
And they want to discredit you.
Yeah, right. And they want to discredit you. Exactly. But no, I have an answer. But let me give you this first. Like I've seen Trent Horn do this masterfully with the pro-life stuff, you know, with the pro-life issues, you know, it's just it could be a wonderful way to engage someone. Because remember, again, to your point, Ace. What's the whole point? The point is engaging apologetics. Mm-hmm. It's not to beat the person over the head. It's not even to win an argument.
Right.
It's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. ultimately, it's about what's true mm-hmm. and what's not true, objectively.
Sure.
What is objectively true and what is objectively not true.
Yeah.
And so the whole point is, how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say?
Mm-hmm.
Even if they walk away from you angry, they're walking away from you thinking.
Right.
And also, that's what you want.
Yeah. And also, you, because again, we're not always there for the seed, the tilling, and the harvest, right? I mean, we may just be the seed planter in a conversation.
Yes.
But the thing that I always have to go back to, even in my own discussions with people, is if you and I get into a discussion and it sounds like we're arguing, and then someone who doesn't know anything about the discussion we're having, but they know that we're both believers and followers of Christ, and they're like, well, these two can't even get along in their conversations. Because again, even if we're talking about it, obviously if we get dynamic, it could seem like we're arguing. But sometimes it's that passion and excitement for who God is, and we're both on the same page. But if for some reason a non-believer or another believer thinks that we're arguing, and how does that replicate into the world that's clearly arguing about everything? How does that make us any different than the world? We have to show that we are friends and have love for each other, respect for one another, to where we are based on what we've been through, our own education and training, but then also what we can learn from one another because of the perspective of God's truth through our own experiences. That's
yes.
where it gets exciting for me, because I love to hear, you know, Deacon and I, you know, bonding over music and lack of fathers in our lives and, you know, reconciliation and trying to be great dads now in spite of it. Like, we connect on all those things, but we still have a different perspective because of how we got there. And
yeah.
it's the same thing when yeah. you get that education and you get that experience of God in your life. Again, the way it appears to the rest of the world is that we're still arguing with each other even after we come into a relationship with God. And that's not what we're about.
Yeah, it's not about taking the knowledge that you learn and saying, well, I'm smarter than you because now I have these letters after my name.
Right.
Or I know more than you because I studied this, and such under this person or that person,
yeah.
right? I mean, I'm constantly aware of that. Yes, I mean, I've studied under Father Mitch Pacwa. I've studied, you know, languages with him. I've studied philosophy. I've this great wealth of education, but it makes no sense if I go out there and try to sound smart.
Right.
I mean, right. What's the point?
Sure.
Right. So what I try to do is take this knowledge that I have and get it across in people's lives in a way that's meaningful.
Yeah. Because
right?
if nothing else, you become the card catalog. So if I want to know where to find something, and I know that you know that piece of information that I don't have privy to, I can go to you. And or just in casual conversations that you have with people post-conference is, well, where can I find data you were talking
yes.
about? And so that's where the education really pays off, because they trust you based on what you've addressed and shared, whether that's through your own story or just in teaching a lesson of any kind. But then they're like, well, okay, they talked about that, and that's where I'm at. So I need to ask them where to find more on that. So again, you become the reference point for them moving forward.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. You become that kind of focus point,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of catalyst for them to move forward. Because you said, I forget, was it Corinthians? I think it's Corinthians, where Paul himself says, I seeded, Apollos watered, God gave the yield.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So in all this, we got to remember God is the one who's bringing the yield from all this education and all this learning and all the things that we're doing in our lives. It's for not our glory, but for the glory of God.
Right.
Right. Not Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. And that's why I love having these conversations too, Ace, because it's in those conversations. Because I love learning stuff.
Right.
So I'm not just in a conversation to impart knowledge. I'm also in that conversation to gain knowledge.
Right.
You know, I love learning new things or different perspectives from people.
Because, again, we, and I'm saying Deacon and I, but I'm also all of us that can hear our voices right now, we are not the reason someone comes to know the Lord or comes into the church or becomes Catholic, we are the instruments to his band. We are literally sitting against the wall waiting for him to pick us up, play us for the person that needs to hear us, so that then that music speaks to them in a way that only they can identify with. So, because I grew up in a house, we led 12 people to the Lord, you know, and yeah. I just don't buy into that way of thinking, because you were there and you got to watch God work through you. And what an amazing opportunity that is. We all hope to be used by him in that manner, but it is not you who led them.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I just don't like when people say things to me like, well, how many souls have you brought to Jesus? I'm like, I didn't bring his souls to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's bringing people. Right. I say all the time, I'm just the instrument. God's a musician. Yeah. And I'm just trying to be a finely tuned instrument in God's hands. And so when we talk about online learning and growing in our faith, the whole thing is so you could be a better instrument.
Right.
It's simple. And God's using you as the instrument. And it doesn't matter if you're a housewife. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher. It doesn't matter if you're an attorney or a theologian or a priest or whatever. Yep. Or musician. God is using you as his instrument. Mm-hmm. And I think we have an obligation and a responsibility by our baptismal call to holiness to be the best instruments we can be to allow God to use us. We use the music analogy or multiplying the talents analogy, mm-hmm. however you want to see it. We have an obligation and responsibility to know about our faith, we can know, love, and serve the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And also think about it like this. As musicians, showing our training ground kind of gets taxing on a lot of people. If I'm coming on to every day going, look at this new chord I learned, or look at this new beat that I learned, and it's, you know, rather than, hey, I'm now learning this instrument. Fast forward 2 years, I'm playing in a band. Look at how we sound, or listen to how we sound. Then it's like, wow, you got there in 2 years? That's amazing. So it hopefully would inspire someone. But then again, as a musician, I never stop learning. I'm always learning new chords and new methods and new whatevers from other musicians, as well as just, you know, listening and understanding how music works. But our faith is the same way. You Yes. learn the things that you do so that you can then share them. But again, if every day it's like, well, I learned this from about this, and I learned this about this and about this, don't show them your training. Just show up when God is ready to use you.
Yeah. And and the people have a tendency to do that, I find, at least with Catholics, are those who are learning about the Catholic faith and they're excited.
Yes.
And they want to share with people what they're learning. Right. I learned, and you like, oh, I already know that, you know, but just to see the excitement of them learning,
right,
and see how passionate they are, you know, I just kind of say, oh, really, you know, I just kind of play
which
it
is
off
great.
I want them to, I don't want to squash them,
right,
you know, like, oh, I already know all that stuff, but I just want to, yes, like, encourage them to keep learning and keep growing in that passion and enthusiasm for the faith.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and one way you can learn about the faith, they said, we talked about college and universities, but there are also podcasts mm-hmm. and YouTube. You know, mm-hmm. I don't watch television, but I do watch.
Yeah.
You know, I have a number of different Catholic YouTube channels that I keep track of, that I like to watch on a regular basis. Again, when I'm in the airport, when I'm on the plane listening to the announcement about the tray table and seat belts and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm listening to things like a Hector Molina's podcast, you know, which is absolutely fantastic. A Walk in the Word is what it's called. A Walk in the Word. Great Bible study. I'm listening to Bishop Robert Barron's Word on Fire website. Listen to his reflections. Pints with Aquinas. Yeah. I think everybody and their mother listens to Pints with Aquinas now. I'm listening to the Father Leo Padaling Hung show, you know, which has a different way of a kind of a Catholic perspective on modern topics. Lila Rose, which now EWTN is picked up as well. There's just so many ways to learn and grow in our faith. I want to encourage you to take advantage of that, right? To never get tired of learning faith. You never get bored of learning the faith. but always continue to grow so you can love the Lord more deeply every single day of your life. All right. Well, tomorrow we're talking about finding joy in suffering. What? Joy in suffering? Yes, we're going to talk about finding joy in suffering. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you as you continue to learn more about Him and His love, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.